Good evening, everybody, and I'm happy to be back learning Torah with all of you who are here in our community and beyond. Let's think a little bit about the Parsha, and I think it's especially critical and crucial that we consider the lessons of the Parsha at a time when we don't really have the opportunity to lane them in shul and to pay attention during davening on Shabbos morning. We have to certainly make sure that we do so during the week, and we're Malver Sedra, and we go through, and we understand, and we follow. After all, this is really what connects us to Jews all over the world, the fact that we know, regardless of where we are, regardless of where we daven or don't daven, we have the opportunity to connect with the Parshas HaShavua, and that is everywhere in the world, at all times. We all share in that opportunity, in that obligation, to learn and to understand. So let's think a little bit about what's been going on the last few Parshios, and ultimately it culminates in this week's Parsha. We've been talking a lot about the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMishkan, of building the Mishkan. And finally in Parshas Pekudei, we come to that climax, to that culmination of this unbelievable job that was done collaboratively through all the Jewish people's hard work to put together, to construct this Mishkan. What was the purpose? What was the general objective of building the Mishkan? It was really, as the Psukim say, Va'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'socham. It was in order to create a sense of Hashraz HaShchina, to give an opportunity for God Himself, Kavayachol, to reside His presence and His Shechina in this world. What happens when, unfortunately, we do not have that opportunity? We live in Galus, and we don't have an opportunity to enjoy a Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps we feel Galus now more than we've ever felt it in the last couple of years, and this is very unfortunate. It's unfortunate on so many levels. It's difficult to think about what's going on. It's difficult to understand where exactly is God in all of this. How is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing so many people to get sick, so many people to be suffering? It's a time when really we appreciate the fact that there is a lack of Hashraz HaShchina. We do not understand what the plan is. So let's think about what happens in a generation when we don't have the opportunity to experience a Beis HaMikdash, when we do not have that experience of being in Eretz Yisrael, of sharing in Hashraz HaShchina. We take ourselves back to Parshas Vayigash, and there we have the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yaakov Avinu, you are going to travel, you are going to journey down to Mitzrayim. That is what I want you to do. But don't worry, I will go down with you to Mitzrayim Va'anochi, but don't worry, Elcha Gam Alo. I will also be the one to bring you back up. As you are wandering, as you are descending, as life seems to be impossible, as you're not understanding why it is that you have to leave Eretz Yisrael, you have the promise from the outset, before it begins, that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I, God myself, will always be there with you. Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayma. Writes the Medrash in Mechilta, such a beautiful comment. Mashal HaMelech Shehalach Beno LeMedina Sayam. This can be compared to a melech, to a king, that has a son who is a prince, very beloved to him, and the son decides it's time for him to start journeying around the world. He wants to get out a little bit. He's living a life that is so consumed with the malchus, so consumed with the royalty. He's always being scrutinized by the media. Sounds very familiar to what we saw happen a few months ago in England. Not always does a ben melech want that. He wants to live a life of his own, so he decides he's going to disassociate with the Malchus. He doesn't want to have royal duty anymore, and he decides he's going out Limedinas Hayam. He's going to venture around the world. As he does that, Yatza Acharav Va'amar Alav, the king always makes sure to keep a watchful and vigilant eye after him. He's going to allow his son some freedom, but he's still going to always make sure that he has somebody who's looking over him and reporting back to the king, to his father. Halach l'medina acheres, the child says, you know, I've become too comfortable here. People started to learn about who I am. Now I'm going to be under the scrutiny of the media again. Let me go to a new place. And he keeps going from one place to another. And as he's traveling, yatza achara va'amar alav, his father is always keeping a loving and watchful eye over his son. And says the Medrash, kach Yisrael, that is exactly what happens as the Jewish people travel through their various stages, through their phases, through their complications, through their difficulties. Kishayardu l'Mitzrayim, the first time when the Jews went down to Egypt, God promised, I will keep a watchful eye on you, Shechina imahem. As the Torah says, Anochi ered imcha Mitzrayma. Alu, when they came back up, Shechina imahem. Yardu liyam, when they were stuck by the Yamsuf, when they did not know where to go, God says, don't worry, Shechina Imahem, I'm still going to be there watching over you. I understand you want your independence. I understand that you want to be a nation. I understand that you want to go out into the world. I understand that sometimes you are thrown out into the world. But still, God says, I will be with you. And finally, on the next leg of their journey that the Chumash describes, Yatsu Lamidbar. The Jewish people ended up having to journey around the desert, and God says, don't worry, Shechina Imahem. I'm still going to keep that vigilant, that watchful eye over you in a loving way, Shenemar, as it says, Vahashem Holech Lifnehem Yomam. I will always be there watching over. A similar story appears in the Gemara Maseches Megillah. And there the Gemara Maseches Megillah, Daf Chavtes, Amud Aleph writes, Tanya Reb Shimon Ben Yochai Omer, look how much chaviv in Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look how beloved the Jews are in the eyes of God. Shebechal makom shegalu. Jews have been all over the world, all over the globe. They've been in so many different countries and continents throughout their long history, throughout their exile, and at every stage, Shechina Imahem. How do we know? Because when they went to Mitzrayim, God says He came with them. When they went to Bavel, says the Gemara, God promised the Nevi'im, Lemanchem shalachti Bavela. I sent you to Bavel, I had a plan, there was a reason for it, but I also was there with you. And ultimately, says the Medrash, Va'af kishehein asidin ligoel, when it's time for the Jewish people to finally come back to their own land, when they're at that final stage, that final moment, God promises us, V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shavuschav. Don't worry, God says, I will make sure to bring you back because I myself, Melamed Shakadosh Baruch Hu Shav Imahem Mibein Hagalios. God says, I was with you all that time, throughout your exile, throughout your experiences of Galus, throughout all those complicated stages of Jewish history, but I will be the one to bring you back. There's an amazing observation made by the great Rameir Simcha Midvinsk, by the famous Meshech Chachma. And this is a comment that's made to Yaakov Avinu, where the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God appears to Yaakov Avinu bin Maros Halayla. God communicates with Yaakov Avinu in the middle of the night, in a dream, in some kind of revelation. And says the Meshech Chachma, you'll notice, if you go through the Parshios in the beginning of Parshas of Sefer Bereishis, you will notice that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with Avraham Avinu, as well as with Yitzchak Avinu, we do not find this phenomenon. We do not find that God appears to them bimaros halayla. He does not reveal himself in the middle of the night. He has open communication with them in the middle of the day. Vayera elav Hashem. We know that God appears to Avram Avinu right in the middle of the day. V'hu omed aleim. Yaakov Avinu is having this experience that was not the one of Avram Avinu or of Yitzchak. And why is that? Says the Meshech Chachma, mipnei shahaya muchan latzeis lechutzel la'aretz lagur. Writes the Meshech Chachma, it's because Yaakov Avinu was on the precipice, he was on the cusp of moving out to Chutz La'aretz, to go live there, to dwell outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore God says, Laharos, I'm going to come to you at night to show you. Sha'af b'layla b'cheshkas ha'galas, don't ever forget, even when you are going to have difficulty, even when you are in the middle of a experience of galas, when you do not see the light of being in Eretz Yisrael, of being close with the Ribbono Shel Olam in such an obvious way, still don't ever forget that Shore HaShechina B'Yisrael, that the God of the Jews is always going to be with them, and that God of the Jews will always be paying attention, He will always have a watchful eye over them, and therefore specifically Yaakov Avinu, who has that experience of Galus in his life, is having a revelation with God Himself, Bimaros HaLaila, in the middle of the night, when things are dark, when things are confusing, when so much of his time is complicated, when he cannot understand why his family is ripped apart, why he's taken out of his land that he was so comfortable in, why does he have to move down to Eretz Yisrael, when he doesn't really know what's happening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to appear to you, b'maros halayla, because you always need to remember that I have a watchful eye over you at all times, and that will always be the case throughout the experience of Galus. You know, we daven every day, v'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamin. We ask that God should have mercy on us and bring us back to an experience of having the pleasure of spending time with Him in a Beis HaMikdash. B'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim. So ask the Arachayim HaKadosh in Sefer Bereishis, why do we need to make such a request? If after all we just said that God is always with the Jewish people throughout their experiences of Galus, what is it that we're lacking? What is it that we're missing? Why is it that we ask that God should reveal Himself to us if we already have that opportunity and that experience? Explains the Arachayim HaKadosh on Chumash so beautifully that there are a whole spectrum of experiences that we have of Hashra's Hashchina. And he says, he proves it from a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos where he writes, there are so many different levels. There are people who can have a very profound and very intense and overwhelming sense of Shechina in their lives. And he said that is the one that was felt in the Beis HaMikdash. But then there are watered down versions. And that is what he says we have in Galus. We all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us all the time. That is the assurance that he gives us in so many different psukim throughout the Nevi'im. The same common thread comes out throughout all of the experiences of Jewish history. The problem and the challenge is that we don't always feel it in its most intense, in its most extreme form. And says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, this is what we pray for. This is what we daven for. V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim. We should once again have that opportunity to be restored to that intense experience of Hashra's Hashchina that God ultimately will bring us when we have a Beis HaMikdash. And that really is what we speak about in these parshios about Hakamas HaMishkan, about Binyan Beis HaMikdash. This is what it means for all of us. So although HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us, wherever we are, in any experience, in any phase of Galus, it is clear that he is felt and experienced most profoundly in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, and in Eretz Yisrael. So let's look at Parshas Pekudei, when we have the culmination of this very detailed, arduous project of Binyan HaMishkan. We look at our Parsha and we find, Vayhi b'chodesh harishon, it was in the first month, which is Chodesh Nishan, b'shana hashenis be'achad ha'chodesh, hukam HaMishkan. Finally, after all this planning, all the hard work, everybody came together, everybody volunteered. Finally, after all this was done, hukam HaMishkan, the Mishkan is resurrected. Rashi quotes from the Medrash that something strange happened. They made a very big celebration. They inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. It was referred to as the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. For 7 days, they celebrated the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was completed. But Rashi quotes from the Medrash that over those 7 days, throughout that period, Hayamoshe Ma'amido Umefarko, every day Moshe Rabbeinu would resurrect the Mishkan, and at night he would take it down once again, only for him to build it the next day. Rashi then says, on the Yom HaShmini, on the 8th day, when this 7-day inaugural period was over, then Haben Moshe as HaMishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu resurrected the Mishkan, and he no longer took it down. This is very strange, and especially if you look in the Medrash itself, where we're told, there are some opinions that Moshe Rabbeinu took it down twice a day and had to rebuild it twice, or perhaps the Medrash says 3 times a day, Moshe Rabbeinu, every day of that 7-day period, Moshe Rabbeinu had to put it up, take it down, put it up, take it down again. And by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu was no young man, and the Gemara says in Menachos, nobody was able to help him because Malam HaKodesh Velo Moridin, not because nobody wanted to help him, but because the instruction was that Moshe Rabbeinu himself had to be involved in this building of the Mishkan every single day, perhaps once, perhaps twice, perhaps 3 times. Ask the Nesiva Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe in our Parsha, why was this necessary? What is the message here? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to keep rebuilding and then taking down, rebuilding, taking it down, perhaps 2 or 3 times every single day for a 7-day period? Why is that integral to the inaugural period, to the inaugural celebration of what the Beis HaMikdash and what the Mishkan represents? Explains the Nesiva Shalom so beautifully, and it's so powerful. And he says that this really serves as a paradigm for all of our personal lives. We all have a life, V'asuli Mishdash V'shachamti B'socham. The Yalshech very famously comments, B'socham B'soch Kol Echad Ve'echad. I always thought it was a Maimer Chazal until I once said that in a shir, and somebody sent me an email right away and said there is no place in Chazal where it says it. And I was surprised to hear that after some research, it is true. It's such a famous line, B'soch Kol Echad Ve'echad, that God resides in every one of us. But perhaps what that line means is that each one of us has our own little Mishkan. And we all have dreams, and we all have ambitions, and we all have aspirations. We're enthusiastic about the plans of what our lives are going to look like, and how exactly we want to construct them, and what kind of family we want to build, and what kind of community we want to live in, and how inspiring a life we're going to live, and the relationship we're going to have with our wives, and our children, and our spouses, and everybody else who's involved in the life that we live in our concentric circles. All of that are beautiful dreams, beautiful ambitions, and they're all noble. However, as we know, life kicks in. And this is all part of the process, that we come across certain moments of our life where we have disappointments, where we have misfortune, where we have all kinds of very difficult debacles and obstacles, and we are let down. And here Moshe Rabbeinu assures us that you need to understand, when charting out the plan of building a Mishkan, not only on a communal level, but on a personal level as well, this is all part of the process. Part of the inaugural celebration was the Jewish people needed to learn that every day Moshe Rabbeinu was Hamid Moshe Umefarko. Every single day Moshe Rabbeinu would put up the Mishkan and he would take it down. In life, there are so often situations where we try to build and we invest of our time and we are so ambitious and we have so many lofty aspirations, not only in Ruchnias, not only in spirituality, but in Gashmias, in every aspect of our life. We have so many things that we are excited to do, that we are excited to experience. And unfortunately, it doesn't always work out the way we planned. It doesn't always look the way that we expected it to. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells us this is all part of the process, but don't forget in the end, on the Yom HaShmini, when all was done, when the beauty of the Mishkan was finally completed, Hamid Moshe Velo Pirko. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu put it up, and what he built was everlasting. That is the important message, writes the Nesiv HaShalom, of the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim that are described in this week's Parsha that Rashi so beautifully quotes from the Medrash as well. Now let's extend this thought just one little bit. And you'll notice something very strange at the very end of Parshas Pekudei. Moshe Rabbeinu is told, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimar, Bayom HaChodesh HaRishon Be'achad HaChodesh Takim Es Mishkan Ohel Moed. God says, on the first day of that month, I want you to go takim. I want you to actively be involved in constructing the Ohel Moed, in constructing the Mishkan. Once again, the Torah says, "Vayhi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashenis." Moshe Rabbeinu, as always, follows instructions exactly how he is supposed to. So this time is no different. Moshe Rabbeinu goes on the first day, exactly when he's supposed to, and he builds that Mishkan. Vayakim Moshe es hamishkan vayitein es adanav. He tightens all the screws and he puts everything in exactly where it's supposed to be. But there are two very curious words here. Here the Torah says, Hukam hamishkan. And the Kli Yakar in his commentary on Chumash notices these words and he says, Hukam sounds like they were resurrected, they were constructed by themselves. So what do you mean it happened by itself? Don't we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to build this? Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Takim es hamishkan. You need to make sure that you build it. So what does it mean when the Torah then changes the phrase to say, Hukam hamishkan, that the Mishkan was constructed by itself? Writes the Kli Yakar, this is also part of life. Asok ata behakamaso, vuhu omeid me'elav. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I understand you're looking at an impossible task in front of you. You have no idea how you're going to do this. I've asked you to do a job that is so beyond your capability. I've asked you to be involved in something where the beams are heavier than you, where you have absolutely no help, where you have no experience in constructing buildings, where you don't know anything about this kind of labor, where you have no schooling at all to teach you how you are supposed to be involved in such a project, and yet God says, I want you to do whatever it is that is possible for you to do, and I assure you, Vuhu Omeid Me'elav, I promise you, I will then kick in. I will do the 90% that you aren't able to do, and I will make sure that it stands on its own. Writes the Kli Yakar so beautifully. This is also an important message for all of us in life. Yesh bazeh remez l'chol ha'maisim asher ha'adam oseh. Here we have a message for every endeavor that we as human beings are involved in. Ki kitzara yad ha'adam lahashlimam hachel v'gamor. There are times when we look at a project and we are overwhelmed. I think now all of us feel overwhelmed. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do. There is so much that we need to take care of. We have children running around the house, perhaps. We are in quarantine. We don't know how we're going to get to the next day. So many parnassas are totally out of their regular business. People do not know what to do. And writes the Kli Yakar, I want you to know, Ki kitzara yad ha'adam lahashlimam hachel v'gamor. God always wants us to remember that so much of life is out of our hands. And it is insurmountable. Ela ha'adam hu hamaschil. All you need to remember is that you as the human being need to begin the process. You as the human being need to invest of yourself, and always be assured, writes the Kli Yakar, V'Hashem Yigmar Al Yado. God gives us that promise, just as he did to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hu Kam HaMishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu was given an impossible task, and in the end, God said, you do your part, which is going to be very small and very insignificant, but I promise you in the end, Hashem Yigmar Al Yado, God will make sure to fill in all of those blanks. And perhaps this is something for us to consider. As we learn, as we read through, as we experience Parshas Pekudei, at a time like this, which is a very uncertain time, which gives us challenges that are extremely complicated and difficult, when they seem to be insurmountable, we remind ourselves, number one, that God promises us, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayma. Number one, God says, I will be there in your experience of exile. I have been there in every generation. I will continue to be there throughout every challenge, throughout every difficulty. This is no different than any other. And after we think about that, we remind ourselves as well that when it comes to building a Mishkan, there are times in our own lives when sometimes we have to be ma'amido umefarko. We have to be willing to allow the process to play out. There are times when it will be built. There are times when, unfortunately, it will be destroyed. There are times when we are going to have all kinds of misfortune, all kinds of tremendous disappointment, all kinds of obstacles and letdowns in our own lives. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all of those dreams, all of those ambitions, all of those aspirations that you had, but all of that is part of the process. This is all part of the inauguration of the Mishkan. It is all part of the experience of our lives. But ultimately, to be assured that even when we face insurmountable challenges like the ones we have today, even when we find so many obstacles to what it is that we need to be focusing our attention, we remind ourselves of the ultimate lesson in our parsha, which is Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to do something that was beyond his capacity, that was way beyond his ability, that was so beyond his understanding. And in the end, God performed the miracle, Hukam HaMishkan. Like the Kli Yakar says, all God wants of us is to try to do our part. We are not going to fix all the world's problems. We are never going to make the situation perfect. But we need to think about doing whatever it is that we are able to invest in making it the best that we can. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he will kick in the rest of it. I wish all of you a wonderful evening.